here on this Sunday morning, Lord, to glorify you, to minister to you, Lord, to worship you. You are good. You are so good, Lord. Even in the midst of all of the bad that may be going on around us or in our families, Lord, you are good. You are so good, Lord. We declare that today. You are good. Worship you, Lord. Magnify your name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray as we open up your word this morning, Lord, you would guide us. You would minister to us, Lord. Lord, that we would see how good you are, Lord, how your plans, Lord, from the foundation of the earth are still going on in our hearts, Lord. Lord, your peace, your love, your grace is so available to us, Lord. Extra measures, Lord, full and overflowing. It's available to us, Lord. Help us to see that. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, Lord, that we may hear you, that we may sense you, that we may know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Man, wasn't worship great? Praise the Lord. We're continuing our series, going through the book of Matthew, verse by verse, our expository series. We love to go verse by verse. We believe that God feeds us that way, that His Bible is in context that way. His Word is speaking to us more abundantly that way. So last week, if you missed, we introduced the book of Matthew. We talked about who Matthew was, Levi, the tax collector who was converted. We talked about the order of the book and how it's divided up seemingly evenly into seven different parts: an introduction, five center sections that end with "and Jesus finished," either finished talking or finished doing something, and then one concluding section of Scripture as well that brings out his passion. And so this morning we are still in his introduction, and what I'd like us to do is, if you are still hopefully in Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 25, and we're going to talk this morning about a special name of Jesus. Last week we talked about Jesus and Christ. Of course, Christ not being his last name, but a declaration. Today we're also talking about a declaration that his name is Emmanuel, and something that we hear so much during the holiday season. And because of that, we can kind of just associate it perhaps with a Christmas tree or Christmas wreath, but Emmanuel is every single day. So we're going to get to that. Okay, verse 18. "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." In the Jewish culture of this time, when you were engaged, it was already legally binding contract, much like in Roman law and also in our current law, marriage is that way. So the only way to break up this already covenant of "we will be married," of engagement, is through divorce. And so she is with child, and just put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Sometimes it's very difficult to do that with this story. For one thing, there's a miracle that occurs. Obviously, a virgin is given a child through the Holy Spirit. So it's very hard for us to associate with Mary. And equally so, it's hard for us to associate with Joseph. But let's try, if you will, this morning. Here's Joseph. He has the woman of his dreams, Mary. She's beautiful, and he loves her, and she's a godly woman. And they're about to be married, but suddenly she starts to show. She starts to show that she's pregnant. And here is a man who's a godly man, a just man. Scripture calls him a righteous man. And he sees his beloved, the person that he is going to be betrothed to. he sees her with child. Imagine what he's feeling. Scripture doesn't tell us other than he was going to quietly divorce her so that there was no disgrace, no public disgrace for her. Obviously, he felt like she cheated on him, that she was with another man and there was infidelity involved. And what we may also not realize, not only is Jewish law different with engagement, Jewish law was also that if a woman would cheat or have infidelity during the betrothal or during the marriage, that she would be stoned, dead. So here's Joseph. He loves Mary, and he thinks she has a child, perhaps through another man. And we're not even talking about the disgrace he would maybe feel with people talking, and, oh, he couldn't wait till the wedding night, and this is disgraceful, and all of those things. Just put that to the side. He realized that he had to divorce her quietly. And it just shows the character of Joseph that he would want to do this quietly so there was no public disgrace, so that Mary would not be stoned to death. This is what's going on in, I believe, Joseph's tortured soul right now. This beautiful Christmas story, he goes through heartache. He goes through turmoil, just as you and I do. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, after he considered divorcing her quietly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Remember, Jesus means Savior or one who saves. And there's a declaration. The seed that is in your wife-to-be is from the Holy Spirit. She is a godly woman. She did not defile the wedding bed. She did not cheat on you. She has the Holy Spirit Son in her womb, and it's the Son of God. Could you just even imagine? Just imagine. And we talk about the virgin birth a lot as Christians. And sometimes, maybe because it is such a miracle, we dismiss it or we make it smaller than it really is. The virgin birth is really important, and I want to talk about a few things that it makes possible. The virgin birth makes salvation possible, period. Without the virgin birth, we would not be saved, because salvation ultimately must come from the Lord, and never through human effort. So if Joseph and his wife-to-be Mary conceive this child from his seed, then it would be something that Joseph did. It would be something that a human being did. And they brought this great man, perhaps, into the world. But he was not God. He was just a great man. There was no way that we could be saved unless the virgin birth is true. Let me also say that Scripture, over and over, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, attests, first prophesies, then it is fulfilled in Matthew, that there was a virgin birth. And so if we say there is not a virgin birth, not only can we not be truly saved, we're also saying that the Bible is a lie. The uniting of full deity and full humanity in one person was made possible because of the virgin birth. He was 100% man because he lived in the womb until it was time for him to come and be conceived, made him human, but he was placed there by the Holy Spirit, which makes him 100% God. And without him being 100% man, 100% God, he could not live a sinless life for us as an example, and he would not be the sacrifice that was unblemished and pure. Christ's true humanity without inherited sin from Adam. When you and I are born, we're from the lineage, ultimately, of Adam and Eve. And so we're born with a sin nature. He was born of the Holy Spirit. That sin nature was not involved. Now, we're going to find out as we go the next few weeks that Jesus was tempted. Tempted mightily for 40 days by the devil, yet without sin. So temptations came, but sin was not there. The virgin birth is incredible. The virgin birth is vitally important for us to understand that without it, we would not be saved. Verse 22, All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, when he prophesies about this. That it would be fulfilled is the first time now that we're seeing it in Matthew. But remember, we learned last week that 82 different times Matthew chooses to say, this is to fulfill, or it has been fulfilled, what the prophet said. 82 different times, connecting it once again to the Old Testament. Verse 23, this is what the prophet said, Isaiah, and it is now fulfilled. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now notice this. Part of us says, wow, well, if an angel of the Lord appears to us, we would be so frightened that we would certainly do exactly what the angel said to do, right? I mean, God sent his own messenger, and it was plain as day. However, remember, Joseph has to deal with the public. He has to deal with friends. He has to deal with acquaintances. He has to deal with looks, with people who do not understand, who did not receive this dream, and sees this young couple that aren't even married yet are about to have a child. And he still does what the Spirit of the Lord says. Last verse of chapter 1, verse 25. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now notice something about Joseph. Joseph, first, when he finds out that Mary has a child, thinks something very bad of her and even of himself and wants to divorce her quietly. An angel of the Lord comes and says, no, 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 continue to marry her. I have given her through the Holy Spirit a son who will be called Emmanuel, God with us. He awakens from the dream and he does exactly as the angel of the Lord says. And notice he did not, have intercourse with his wife. He did not consummate the deal. Now think about Joseph. He not only is being kind, he is not only being righteous and caring about Mary, but the Spirit of the Lord said, this is going to be the Christ. This is going to be Emmanuel. And he put his selfishness aside. He put his passions aside. He even put his rights aside. He had every right to consummate the marriage. He had every right to be with his wife that he's probably been dreaming of and being excited about. He put his rights on hold because the Lord was with him and God wanted him to be a part of something special. Before we go on with this story, I want to ask you, are we willing to put our so-called rights to the side? Are we ready to put what people might think of us to the side so that God can do something amazing? We see from Joseph something maybe we've never seen before in Joseph, a man who is willing to do that, willing to accept something he did not understand, willing to accept something that would make him look bad in front of others, willing to accept something that would make him wait for something he really wanted to do in his flesh. That is Joseph. Now I want to go back to verse 23. And we're going to camp out on that the rest of the service. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. This morning I want to talk about what it means, what the word with means. Now this is going to be kind of daring on my part to spend so much time on giving a preposition so much run, so much identity, but I think we need to. What does it mean to be with God and God with us? First, we must think of what it means to be with someone or something. I have a dog named Elvis, of course. He's a Chihuahua, and he is with me. He is part of my family. He is with me sometimes when I go get in the car and run an errand. He wants to be with me, and sometimes I want him to be with me. And He's part of the family, but yet below our children. If I had to choose between the two, I would choose my children. Some of you wouldn't, and we'll pray for you later. But my dog is with me. However, that's just one level. Another level would be my child, my children. They are with me as well. They are in my life. They are with me for companionship. They're with me. I love them. But that's one level. A deeper, perhaps larger level is my wife, Miranda. When I first met her and we were talking and hanging out, I wanted to be with her. I wanted to get to know her better. I wanted to love her and, yes, kiss her and give her flowers and cards. Then I wanted to get married to her so I wouldn't have to do all that stuff anymore. Right? Right, man? But I wanted to be with her the rest of my life. And so here's another level of with. I am with my wife. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 22. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. I'm going to read it real fast. This is obviously read a lot in weddings and things like that. Paul the Apostle says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." Men, give yourselves a high five. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife." It's because you want to be with her. You want to spend the rest of your life with her. You want to know her and just be around her and be in her presence. "Be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is a deeper level of with. It's different than I have with my dog. It's different than I have with my children even. It is we become one flesh. We become one person together. Verse 32, "This is a profound mystery." It is. How does that happen? Scientifically, that can't happen. It's a profound mystery. "But I am talking about Christ and the church." So this whole thing that we use for marriage, and well, we should, there's a lot of great instruction that Paul gives us for marriages, for husbands and for wives. But ultimately, he's using that as an illustration of what Christ is with the church. That we are to be his bride, that we are to be married to him. We are to be with him. We are to be one with him. That through his Holy Spirit, he is in us. Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for I will send the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to live within you and to guide you." That's with. That's a greater level of with. It's important. God with us. I want to give you a couple more examples from our story. Mary. God was with her. Mary is a very special woman. Now, Catholicism would give her deity, would say that she is God and would pray to Mary. She's not that special. However, she is definitely special. God chose to use her to bring forth this baby from the Holy Spirit that would be the Son of God, that would be 100% man, 100% God. He chose Mary. Mary was pretty special. Here's why she was special: because God was with her. Think about Joseph. We talked about Joseph and his self-control and his selflessness even in wanting the best for Mary and even wanting the best for the Holy Spirit and for what God is doing in his life and shutting down his own emotions perhaps. We've learned that about Joseph. Last week we went through this long genealogy that often, like we said, we skip when we're reading. This genealogy is for Joseph. It's really interesting that Matthew would choose to give the lineage of Joseph, even though Jesus is not the blood relative of Joseph. He's special. Joseph is special. Why? Because God is with him. God is with him. In fact, so much so that he gives this genealogy, because again, remember, Mary and Joseph were both from the line of David, both from the house of David. Mary descending from Nathan, his son, and Joseph descending from Solomon, his son, both from the house of David. But he goes painstakingly through this list to show that Joseph was no schlub, that Joseph is special because God was with him. If you also look at this genealogy that we looked at last week, there's five women's names in there. The fifth one was Mary, and he says, when he's talking about Joseph, Joseph was the husband of Mary, so that would be the fifth. But he's talking about four in the lineage of Joseph, four women. Four women. This is a misfit. In Jewish genealogies, there are not women listed usually. It's very interesting he lists four, and five being Mary. Of those five, three of them are Gentiles. If women are unheard of in a Jewish lineage, my goodness, you included Gentiles? And he skipped names. He skipped names within this genealogy. He could have easily skipped the Gentile names, but he chose to include them. Why? Because God was with them. God was with them through the history of all mankind. Up to this important event, God was orchestrating it. In this list are sinners. Mighty sinners. In fact, one of the women, Bathsheba, is listed as was Uriah the Hittite's wife, and she also was in sin with King David. And there's other sinners in this list too. God was with them, just as God is with you and I when we sin. God is with us when we are misfit in our community, when we are a misfit at the workplace, that God is with us. And God is with you. God is with me. The book of Matthew is bookended by Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and his great commission that he ends with, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You could say that the book of Matthew is showing this is God's activity on the earth from the foundation of creation to now, and he's with these people, and now he is with you. Go and make more people that will be with me. That's incredible. Did you know that God is with you? Now, I don't know every single person here, but I know some of you, and I know that I also know life, and life sometimes can be unkind, and we can go through things. God is with you. It's more than just words on a page. It's more than just a Christmas message, Emmanuel. God is with you. And it's also more than just kind of a greeting or you're departing from one another and you say, go, God is with you. It's more than that. God is with you currently, now. The Greek word for with, this preposition that we just don't even think much of, is meta. Meta means to be in the midst. God is in the midst of us. It's to be with. It's to be among. God is among us. God is among you. Accompaniment. He's accompanying you. Expressing union. This is how a man is with his wife. They are a union, and that is why we are the bride of Christ, and he is our Savior. He is our Lord, and we are with him. We are in union. With is a very powerful word. Meta also implies companionship, fellowship, and partnership. That little word, with or meta in the Greek, means all of these things. Now let's look at Webster's dictionary, shall we? I just want to do this again. We think we know what with means, but the gravity of this statement, the gravity of this declaration that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. I want to go through a few definitions according to Webster's Dictionary, and they also give some sample sentences that always helps you understand what the definition is trying to get across. And for each one, I added something that would get across to us how God is with us. So with is used as a function word to indicate combination, accompaniment, presence and addition. The sample sentences given were heat milk with honey. It's disgusting. His money with his wife's is enough. And then we have peace with God as we endure pain. That's what it means to be with God. That's what it means for God to be with us. That even through the turmoils, even through the tragedies that we're going through, God is with us. Now, what we don't understand is why God lets us go through that sometimes. We don't understand why God would allow some of the things that we go through that cause this pain. However, whatever we go through, know this, God is with you. God is with us. He is always with us. Another definition, uses a function word to express agreement or sympathy, such as, I must conclude with you that the painting is a forgery. You're right, it's fake. Grieve with the family at their loss. This is something that we do. We come alongside somebody and agree or show sympathy. This is what God does for us. Answered prayers shows he is with us. He is with us, not just in church. He is with us because he hears us and he reacts. He answers our prayers. In fact, he promises to do so. With is used as a function word to indicate a participant in an action, transaction, or arrangement. Works with his mother. A talk with a friend. God with us draws people to himself. Did you know that? So God is with us. He's always with us. That means our next step is important. That means our next decision is important. Our next conversation is vitally important. Why? Because God is with us. Not because we're special, not because we're talented, not because we're full of knowledge. No, it's because God is with us. And he draws people to himself using us, with us. Isn't that incredible? You, yes, you. Me, yes, me. Uses a function word to indicate the means, cause, agent, or instrumentally. Hit him with a ball with anger. He amused the crowd with his antics. He transforms us with his gospel. It's the agent that he gives. We think of the gospel as something that brings us into the house of God, brings us into fellowship, into relationship with Jesus. But the gospel is for us to be embedded in us, not just to attract others, but so that we would walk in line with the gospel, as Paul tells Peter in Galatians. It's something that we walk with. It's something that we live in. It's something that transforms us. If the gospel is not as important to us today as it was when we first were saved, then we are not truly walking with God. Gospel is with us. A couple of more. With also means in the direction of, such as with the wind or sand with the grain. He leads us with his spirit. We have to go in his direction. The Old Testament, we saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire. I'm using pillar too many times, I guess. Pillar of fire by night, and that's how they went. Here, God pours out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And we're moved that way. We are with his spirit. Last one. With means characterized or distinguished by, such as a person with a sharp nose or a car with a bent axle. We are a people with God's supernatural power. So God with us means we have his supernatural power. It's so much more loaded than just a word, Emmanuel, God with us. If God is with us, our lives can be different. Our lives can be special just as Mary and Joseph's were. Our lives can be special just as those Gentiles and sinners and Jewish people in the genealogy of Jesus were. God can be with us. Joshua 1:9. I want to share some scriptures from the Old Testament of with us. We could call them with us scriptures. Most of them have something to do with fear. It's been said, I don't know who first counted this, that do not fear is in Scripture 365 times, one for every day. I've never counted. I don't know if that's true or not. Here's one of them, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God be with you wherever you go. Whatever you're walking through, this is important. This is impactful to us. This is not just a Christmas message. He is with us. Can we get a hold of that? Can we grab it? Or is it like sand just running through our fingers? It seems like it's important, but how important? It's vitally important. A few more. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. For he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. Do not fear. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. The scripture makes me think of Peter getting out of the boat. Jesus walks to him on water and beckons him to himself. And Peter starts to literally walk on water, and then he looks around him at the storm and he sinks. He's anxiously looking about him. We do the same thing. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am with you. Isaiah 43:1-3. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. All of these things is what God with us, Emmanuel, means. He has called you. He's redeemed you through the blood of his son. God is with us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to stop every water. I'm going to stop every calamity. He says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Last one, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's with you. He's always in your midst. Can we get a hold of that? That even when we're sinning, God is with you. Now, I'm not saying he's with you in agreement. I'm not saying that he's with you because he caused you to sin, because Scripture says he cannot tempt, but he is with you. No matter what you're doing, God is with you. He's not always in agreement, but he's with you. God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing because he's in your midst. He's with you. He's with me. Tell your neighbor, God is with me. Could I have the worship team come back up, please? This is who Jesus is. He will be called Emmanuel is a declaration. Just as he is the Christ or the Messiah, or he will be called Jesus. Those are declarations. Not just introducing you like we have name tags. Hi, my name is Sean. It's this is who he is. We talked about this last week. Christ is the Greek form and Messiah is the Hebrew form. And it means the anointed one. He is the anointed prophet. He is the anointed priest, and he is the anointed king. He is the king of the universe. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Jesus, verse 21 of chapter 1, says he will save his people from their sins. That is Jesus. And then the third declaration, the third name that we have in Matthew already is Emmanuel, God with us. Can I tell you, if he is not with us, he cannot be Jesus. In other words, he cannot save. Think about that. How important is it that God is with us? He could not be called Jesus if he was not also Emmanuel. He could not save if he did not come to be with us. He could not be called God with us, Emmanuel, if he was not birthed by a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit. He could not. He could not be the Messiah or the Christ if he was not with us first. We cannot divorce the idea of he is Emmanuel, God with us. His presence is with us at all times. If it is not, if that is a lie, if that didn't happen, then he could not be Jesus. He is, and he's our Savior. Could you stand with me? We're going to worship with one more song, but I want to give you the opportunity. If God is not with you, I want to pray with you. I want to be up here. I want you to come up here. I don't want you to think about what people are thinking. Be like Joseph. Joseph didn't care what other people thought. He didn't care what people thought about his wife-to-be, Mary. He decided, I'm going to serve God no matter what the sacrifice. Let that be you as well. If God is not with you, if he's not your Savior, if he's not your Lord, I want you to come up here. I want to pray with you. Let's worship together.